So what's the impact, AP?
It's just disheartening. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, like, they know there's differences between what they're experiencing and racism. What they're doing is they're trying to extend a hand, like, we are both being discriminated against. Let's work together to solve this problem. Instead, they're being slapped, like, it's not the same thing. It's different. We don't want to work with you. We don't want to work together. And if you're a person of color and you're a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, it's like, when you, like, you're getting double slapped, you know what I mean?
For sure, for sure.
What's the best bet?
And just exactly like you said, just as people of color want white people to work on their own racism and fight for social justice, people who are GLBT expected the same from their heterosexual counterparts. As we all work on our heterosexism, we are then able to move on to the larger vision of social justice for all. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated well when he said that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
On to number 22.
Yes, sir.
When people of faith say, love the sinner, hate the sin, what is the intent?
This can be said as an attempt to reach out in a compassionate way to GLBT people while not condoning their actions or their choice. What's the impact?
This one's dicey.
Is it?
I mean, it has to be said, like, being a person of faith and being GLBT is not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. And for many people, many religious people, they don't understand how homosexuals can be in good conscience members of religious organizations because they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, while doing things that are morally wrong and against religious teachings on their own. So, like, people cuss and go to church. People have angry, like, they're like aggressive drivers. They go to church. Like, they can't control their anger. No one's like, oh, you shouldn't go to church now. How can you in good conscience do that? It's just a contradiction.
Right.
It's just, you're being hypocritical. Like, why are you saying that to me?
And guess what the best bet is?
What's the best bet?
Agree to disagree.
I mean, yeah.
It's pretty obvious. I mean, you stated it yourself. I mean, recognizing that organized religion has been used historically to support not only heterosexism, but also racism, sexism, and anti-Semitism, can forget the way for meaningful dialogue. It is best to leave the judging for Judgment Day, if indeed you believe in such a day. If you don't, then don't, but just agree to disagree.
I mean, because...
who are we to judge?
I mean, there's been a lot of different faiths that have used their faith to do bad things to others.
You're absolutely right.
But that's why I'm like, this one's a little dicey.
I need to read.
Speaking about being dicey, when white men say, we are the ones who are being discriminated against now. Intent.
Typically, people who make this sort of statement are frustrated by the lack of acknowledgement that discrimination has an impact on all people, not just those from unrepresented groups. And more to the point, that white men in particular are serving as a scapegoat for all society's ills. Impact, AP?
I mean, you want to sound like a spoiled child that didn't get their toy?
Man, I'm glad you said spoiled.
I miss.
Man.
I mean, there's a difference between discrimination and oppression. A major distinction is, like, anybody can be discriminated against at a personal level. Like, I don't like you personally, so I'm going to try to get you fired in a job. Whenever it comes from an institutional power, like a government, it's culturally normal. And, I mean, that's a lot different. And there are people that benefit from that oppression towards other groups. Bottom line, white men still experience more privileges than any other group. And all you have to do is look at the government corporate structures. Any meeting you go to is probably a white male in a business suit. There probably are hardly any women, hardly any minorities.
They're sprinkled in, man. Affirmative action. They're sprinkled in.
What's the best bet?
Best bet. White men should use their experience to gain an insight on how it feels to be marginalized. That's a wow right there. But this demonstrates empathy and understanding will forge relationships that are built on trust and mutual respect. Trust be told, If you want people to understand your experiences and feelings, it's sometimes best to understand their own feelings first, as then they are most likely to listen to and be open to hearing your experiences. Also, it is important to acknowledge how privilege benefits you. Sorry. This can be especially challenging for white men who are from their other disadvantaged groups, as they are tempted to talk about that experience and avoid discussion on the privilege as a white man. Remember, privilege is not something we always have control of. It is given, not earned. By acknowledging your privilege, you demonstrate your awareness of a system of inequality. Here's the issue, man. I have a friend. He's one of my really, really good friends. And we talked about white privilege all the time. And at first, man, he got so upset. I mean, like, we're in my living room. He's like, "This is dumb. You guys are discriminating against me. You guys are just always wanting to pick on me." And I'm like, "No, man. I understand you don't know." But this is really what it is. And it's, you know, and hearing this statement right here, it's given, not earned. That's something that he feels like he works hard for everything that he has. And he's a hard worker, you know. He's one of my good friends for a reason. But he doesn't understand that he's given a lot more than what, you know, myself is given. Or he's able to get away with a lot more than what myself, that I can't get away with, that you can't get away with. And you know what I mean? And this is where, you know, we just have to empathize. If you feel like you're getting discriminated against as a white man or a white woman or a white person, period, or whatever.
We feel you, man.
Yeah, we definitely do, a little bit more than you know. So instead of getting upset at the person that's discriminating you, feel that emotion. Understand how it feels. Empathize for the people around you that are actually getting discriminated every single day of their life instead of the 5 seconds or 5 minutes that you got discriminated. Tú sabes? Tú sabes. Number 24.
Referring to older people as cute. What's the intent of this?
Referring to older people as cute is meant to compliment and form a form.
Just affection?
And a form of flattery. Yeah, it's a form of affection, basically. I mean, what's the impact of that? I want to know this.
I mean, tone and use of word are condescending. It's kind of like, I remember when I was in high school, like, the senior girls would walk up to me when I was a freshman, "Oh, you're cute." It's like, they basically called me a little child.
I'm a grown man, I'm 13.
You know what I, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's a term used for little children. So it's belittling them and their time they've had on this planet.
Right. I hear that, man. Best bet is respect is a concept which transcends age. At times we forget that even though a person's body has age, inside that body is someone who has a lifetime of experience and knowledge that can benefit anyone with whom they come in contact. I mean, elderly people are wise. We say that for a reason. They really have a lot of wisdom. They've been through a lot. It's not just what they've learned in school, and I think that's the cool thing that people forget about.
They're just not cute things you throw to the side and you ignore.
Exactly. They're people we learn from. Back, you know, back in the day, the elders were the leaders. They're the ones that everybody learned from. Times have changed, obviously. But perhaps there is a good deal of truth in the saying, "With age comes wisdom." This is from the book, by the way. Take advantage of the opportunity to connect with a person, as it will be a win-win situation for both of you. Boom, look at me jumping ahead, and it was already there. I apologize.
I like it, Tim.
25.
Asking a transgender person, "What are you really? Are you a man or a woman? What's the intent of this?"
There's usually genuine confusion by the person asking the question. They are seeking clarification on the person's gender so that they can identify how to treat that person appropriately. What's the impact?
I mean, people who are not who don't visually conform to gender roles and expectations are challenged and harassed daily for it. I mean, I've never asked if I'm a man or not. I don't even know what that feels like. And adding the "really" to this question implies that a transgender person might be deceiving you. Like, what are you really? Like, I'm not deceiving you. I'm being who I am. And it's, so they're paying a price for being visually different. They're being persecuted against because they're visually different.
I hear that.
What is the best bet, Tim?
For most people, gender identity and gender expression are seen as very dualistic concept. You're either a male or a female, or a man or a woman, case closed. However, this issue is much more fluid and a wide range of encompasses a wide range of experiences. These experiences include, but are not limited to, people who are identified as being transgender, transsexual, gender nonconforming, gender queer, cross-dressing, butch, and feminine. Instead of asking the above questions, ask what pronouns the person prefers. basically, hey, what would you like for me to call you? How would you like me to treat you?
I mean, I like that question. What pronoun would you want me to use with you?
I like that a lot. I mean, you have to be a little bit more polite, a little bit more sensitive to certain subjects, and that's not something you need to ask bluntly unless you obviously are close to that person. And
even then, if you're close to them, you would already know how to answer.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't know how they were born or what they want to be referred to as now, then don't be so rude about it.
Just be as respectful as possible.
Respect is a key. Major key. What are we on, 25?
26.
Ooh, 26. Moving on up.
Referring to the significant other, partner, or spouse of a same gender couple as their friend.
Ah.
You like this one, Tim?
I do.
What's the intent?
At times, using the term friend is a result of knowing the vocabulary of the preferred term for same gender couples. Also, it might be a way of not making assumptions as the nature of the relationship if it is unclear to the person addressing them. What's the impact?
I mean, besides being marginalized and disrespected, what do you mean, what's the impact? Can you imagine if I was like, Edna's your friend, right?
Yo.
She might beat me up, right?
Yo, you know, yeah, real talk. I mean, you can look at her and think, yeah, she might throw them hands at me. But, I mean, that is disrespectful. And that's why we have a best bet right now. And that's exactly what we're going to go straight into before Edna comes through this mic and throws her hands. Best bet is the language use of Mr. and Mrs., which we have grown accustomed to using in heterosexual marriages, simply does not apply. It is best to ask the person how they refer to that person. As their partner, significant other, husband, wife, spouse, etc. Most same-gender couples have gone through the process of choosing the language that best describes their relationship, and as a result may be open to asking what language is preferred. Let them define their own language and not have you assign it to them.
So like the last one, like you just ask respectfully? Ask respectfully here.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's what you should do all the time.
Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is Tim. Oh, hi. Oh, and this is... Oh, okay, this is your girlfriend. Nice to meet you. Oh, this is your boyfriend. Nice to meet you. There's nothing hard with that. You know, let them talk. Do more listening, people. Do more listening.
You're gonna like this one, Tim. Tim, why do they, fill in the blank, always have to sit together? They're always sitting together.
Man, the intent, at some level, we might feel excluded and wonder why they never sit with us. It can feel as though they are part of something exclusive, look like a little group or a club that we have not been invited to. I mean, what's the impact, JP? Go ahead.
I think it's important to define who they are in the statement. They is usually the majority talking about a minority. When you're in the majority, you don't have to be accused of clumping because you're the majority. And you just go to people you like to hang out with. I like to play video games, so I hang out with people who play video games. We're all in the same class doing this group project. We became friends. We hang out with each other. We all play sports. We're all on the same basketball team. We all hang out with each other. And usually there's just a tone to it. Like, they're accusing them, like, it's accusing tone, and it carries a good deal of judgment. That can lead to feelings of resentment and inequality. It's just a double standard of social norms. Of course, the majority of people hang out with people that they're used to.
They have things in common with.
So if you're going to a school that's 95% white and all the black kids are sitting with each other, that's a pretty common, like, what's going on, man?
It's not even just common, though. It's natural.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to clump together. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. And matter of fact, best bet, all people clump. It's a part of the human condition. We clump people with who we have something in common with. Sometimes you can visually see the commonality as the ability of sexual orientation, socioeconomic class, or even things like political affiliations or civic organizations. Clumping is not the problem. Oof. In fact, it is natural. Bam, I said that. Okay. The problem is when we begin to pass judgment as to who is allowed to clump together. That is an issue. Matter of fact, man, I uploaded a picture to Facebook of some friends that we went to a club for somebody's birthday or something, and uploaded it. It was like 2 or 3 years ago from the day. Because, you know, well, you don't get on Facebook too often, but there's like a time hop. And I remember like somebody commenting on it saying, man, I wish I had a group of friends like this. And it's like, it sounded like they were, you know, hating a little bit. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, I hang out with them all the time.
What did they say?
They were just like, it was like a salty, like that. You know, those emojis, the face where you're kind of just like looking on the side, like angry, kind of like, ugh. You know what I mean? Just looking at the side of your face, basically. He just seemed salty about it. And to me, it's just like, it's normal to hang out with people. It's normal to have a group of friends. And I'm sorry for those that haven't found that group of friends, but it's okay to do that. No reason to judge somebody that does have a group of friends. Instead of being upset about the issue of not having a group of friends, maybe talk to that person and maybe they'll accept you into that group. And maybe you'll have a group of friends to hang out with. Because in all reality, I'm willing to hang out with anybody that's willing to have a good conversation, not somebody that's just willing to sit there and take pictures to try to look, you know, social media famous.
I like it, Tim. I have nothing to add.
Deuces, let's continue.
Hey, Tim, don't you think people should just pick themselves up by the bootstraps?
Man. We're on 28, the people. People making this comment are suggesting that people do not like their lot in life. They need to work harder to change it. I'm not sure what that was supposed to say, JP.
My bad, man.
No, you're good. I understand, man. What's the impact?
Impact is, I mean, it's just a lack of acknowledgement about reality that people aren't running the same race. Some people have to work twice as hard to make the same level of success. Some people work 60 hours a week and barely can keep their head above water. And there are some people that work 25 hours a week and are just balling outrageous. Not everyone's equal.
That is very true.
What's the best bet?
Best bet. Many of us make the assumption that people who are poor or of moderate means are simply lazy and therefore deserve what they get. How hard we work with how much money we make doesn't really matter. Reality tells us that there is a huge disparity between jobs that make value and those that do not. One only needs to look at how much professional athletes and movie stars are paid compared to working class and middle class
teachers.
Let's talk about teachers for a second. Barely surviving. And begin to understand the disparity. It is evident to many that we need to move away from a minimum wage to a living wage, which that does make sense. Having a living wage. Let's talk about teachers for a second, like you said, man. Teachers are getting paid less than $30,000 in Oklahoma.
I mean, they're only spending 7 hours a day with their children. That's not a big deal. We should pay them as little as possible.
And the thing is, it's like, that's 7 working hours. It's probably more like 10 that they aren't getting paid for. Because, you know, you got to stay after class and we'll do tutoring. Or maybe you have detention. Or maybe you're working on your lesson plan for the next day, grading papers, whatever the case may be. You have teachers every day that bring work home.
It's cool, though. Teaching is an easy job, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, considering that we all need an education to, you know, go far in life.
Oh, I was being facetious. It's one of the hardest jobs you can ever have.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was definitely going with it.
I love it.
I was definitely going with it. No, for sure. It's ridiculous that how teachers get paid. And, I mean, I like the idea of a living wage. That's pretty awesome.
It's like some people, like, they are picking themselves up by their bootstraps and doing as much as they can. And it's just not good enough. It's not equal for everyone.
It's not at all.
So, yeah, definitely a two-parter. Tim, you need to tell them again where they can find us at.
You guys can follow us on Facebook at The Positive Truth Podcast, Twitter at TPT_podcast, on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and SoundCloud. If you guys have any comments, concerns, or questions, email us. I mean, we love our emails.
We're going to leave the book in the description because I forgot it and I can't remember the author's name.
We'll probably have a picture of it up on Facebook as well so you guys can check it out.
It's a great book to read. There's more to it than just these 35 things. If you want to support the podcast, tell a friend about it. Leave a positive review. Write a positive review on iTunes. You got a positive quote?
No, sir. I do not.
You do have a positive quote. Read that Einstein one again.
I got you. We are all ignorant, just in different areas. That's all I got.
We're out. Have a wonderful week.
Stay positive.